All right. Off top.
Off top.
National championship game. Started to watch that game yesterday. One problem I always have, and it's funny, we're talking about Miami, and it's just the lack of competition at ACC. And I know that I'm beating an old drum. And I don't know how much it would affect Clemson had they played better competition later in the year. But I think because the ACC is what it is, I feel like maybe in their non-conference schedule had they had some teams that were tougher. Nothing that can set you up to lose because Clemson still has the whip. Like, especially on offense. One thing you have to remember, on defense, they lost so many starters last year. And a lot of this year looked like that they were getting by without those starters, and they were sometimes stat-wise even better. But when you look at ETN and you look in the beginning of that game, Lawrence and those receivers, it was like a professional team out there at some point. And it was like,
it's about Clemson, right?
Joe Burrow, yeah. It was like, man, yeah. Joe Burrow, can you withstand this run? But the waves of LSU, you know what I'm saying? And the grit when it came down to it, with the physicality, it finally overwhelmed them. And Trevor Lawrence, in some ways, disappeared down the stretch in that game last night.
Under 50% passing.
Yeah.
And which is not like him.
Which, well, beginning of this year, was like him.
I'm talking about the big games and big moments. He will pull them back.
He's only had one big game. Alabama. One thing that I feel like we haven't discussed, and I don't mean us, but nationally, is the fact, and I don't know if it's because of all these spread offenses in college, but back in the days, it used to be if you give Nick Saban some weeks to develop a defense for your offense, he was going to get your butt. And I know Alabama's defense hasn't been the same the last couple of years, and particularly this year due to injury, particularly in the linebacking core. But that I put a lot of that on him, even though Tua messed up. You're supposed to be the guy that you're supposed to game plan. And Trevor Lawrence last year was a freshman, and you weren't able to do it. But getting back to this year and getting back to the national championship game, I had LSU winning. Joe Burrow, who to me proved he was the best quarterback this year in college football. First of all, Urban Meyer, man, you had to run that one off. Why?
Yeah. And this is Burrow's first year as a straight starter?
Second year there.
There, okay, yeah. Right.
Last year, different offensive coordinator took off this year.
Also, I want to correct myself. I was looking at the wrong year. Miami was not in the ACC championship.
These alternative facts D's coming up with.
I was looking at the wrong year. I'm sorry.
But
watching too much Fox News over there.
Yeah, Fox.
I like these alternative facts. Hey. They help Miami.
Man.
But it was a long game. It was definitely a good game. It was a well fought game until like really the last quarter and a half. But props to both of those schools for being outstanding football factories, not paying those players, but definitely putting on a great show last night. I enjoyed it. Props to Clemson for being still in their dynasty run. They pop up next year. They're still in their dynasty run. I'm a Trevor.
Got one more year of Lawrence.
I'm not a Dabo fan, but I am a Trevor Lawrence fan. I feel like he has a chin like Rain Pryor, Richard Pryor's daughter.
Wow.
Facts. But it was definitely a good game. Shout out to LSU. It's nice to see a different SEC team do it. I've always kind of liked LSU, but the problem has been since Rohan Davey and Jamarcus Russell and so on and so forth, Matt Flynn. They never had a lead QB, and they had some guys that have some phenomenal tools. And Davey, who was just an idiot, and then Jamarcus Russell, who was a bust. The guys who had tools but never were elite quarterbacks overall. So it was good for them to finally knock that out because, I mean, you could easily say the greatest quarterback in LSU history now is Joe Burrow. So definitely hats off to the number one pick. Unfortunately, now you're going to Cincinnati.
I will say, this is the first championship for LSU since 2007 or 2009.
Yeah, it was 13 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been a while, right?
Yes.
No, half off to
Miles won with Nick Saban's team.
Right. Listen, like I said, hats off to them. It was a good game. It was just a lot of LSU. The defense definitely stepped up. Trevor Lawrence and the guys couldn't really do what they needed to do. But like you said, though, they're going to have another good team next year. And I could probably say they're probably going to be back in the national championship again.
Who is?
Clemson. Right. Possibly.
I mean, they got the easiest road to hoe.
Right. They got the easiest road to hoe, and they still have the best quarterback in the country.
Unless CU comes back.
The only problem is with them is strength of schedule. So let's just say, like, next year you have – probably won't happen, especially in the SEC, but let's say you have four unbeaten teams. Let's say you have a Big Ten unbeaten team. And that's
Ohio State, probably.
Yeah, exactly. SEC.
But doesn't it compare on their schedule, too?
Who's?
Because only SEC really plays a tough.
Well, no, but
conference.
the Big Ten is harder than the ACC. Period. The Big Ten.
It is.
You still have to run through.
I guess it depends.
Wisconsin. Think about it. You have to Wisconsin, Penn State, and forget Minnesota was good this year.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't have that. You, like
Michigan State are kind
Miami
of
Miami being bad, FSU being bad. There's nobody you have to play in the ACC. You just don't.
Not really.
Yeah, it's just that's not Clemson's fault. They're
right.
That everyone in there are weak, but unfortunately, that's the
Boston College.
Plan. Yeah.
They might get to
in the SEC.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah. They might get the nod over an undefeated.
I'm not saying they won't, but it's always going to be if you ever run into.
But that's not going to help them. Their strength of schedule.
Let's just say the Big 12.
If they lost a game, they might be out of the.
Let's
playoff.
Say the Big 12 is good, decent, good next year. Let's just say the Big 12 have 2 to 3 teams, right? Then you're starting to run into this issue, perhaps. I still think, like you're saying, they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. I feel like they should for the blue blood they are.
Well, I'm saying if they're undefeated with a couple other undefeated outside SEC, I think that they probably have a case, depending on the schedule, of course.
But imagine this. What if you have an undefeated Alabama team and a one-loss LSU team?
Yeah, I mean, LSU's going to get the benefit of the doubt being national champ, just like that's we talked about with Clemson.
That's what I was going to say. Like, that's where you kind of run into that issue.
But I think the committee would be a little bit biased because they see Clemson really be able to handle any competition level.
But the committee also said that they factor in who you played and who's
healthy
when they play. So that's the reason why it's a human committee now compared to just being straight committee.
At least we know the Pac-12 ain't bringing anybody to the team.
Right. I mean, you look at Louisville. They're not there anymore. No. Boston College not there anymore.
Florida
State.
So
Florida State.
Florida State, they haven't, they're not coming back.
VT, Pitt.
No.
Miami right now, of course.
No.
GT back in the day used to be a pretty accomplished football vision.
Yeah.
I mean,
but
football,
again,
program.
Hats off to those young men.
Yeah, man, they did a good job.
Yeah, well, I'm happy.
And it was basically like a home game for them. They was down there home cooking.
Mm-hmm.
It was good for them.
Alex Cora's fired for off top.
You would hit on that.
We're going to go deep more into this topic, but yes.
And we know A.J. Hinch has been let go as well. How fast are these guys getting jobs again?
Definitely.
As soon as their suspension's done?
Well, he's suspended for this upcoming season. Next season. Just this season, right?
This season.
Okay.
Because Hinch is coming back.
Jeff Luhnow now have 1 year suspensions.
Maybe the White Sox.
Alex Cora, he's getting 2 years, if not more, I feel like.
I've been hearing potential lifetime ban.
Which is BS. That's BS.
They gave it to Pete.
Exactly what we're going to have to do.
We're going to go deep dive.
Please do not bring Pete Rose into this conversation.
We're going to give more.
Pete's weighed in on it.
I don't care what he's weighed in on.
Yeah, we're going to bring what Pete says later.
Yeah, we're definitely bringing it. All right, I got another off top.
Oh, I got one too, though.
Go ahead then.
Oh, no. Locally. We've all done this. I think you came out there with us before, Ryan. I believe you did. The Bears are not going to be in Bourbon anymore.
Well, most teams play at home.
Yeah, they're going to be in Hollis Hall
they're
now.
They're going to Hollis Hall.
Yeah.
They're saying Bourbon, we're taking that back. Probably they don't want to live that Jesuit lifestyle when they're out there.
Not next to the projects no more.
So, yeah.
Little row houses. Don't want projects. It was like little row houses.
They don't want those
projects. Row houses and projects are similar depending on the location and how they look.
They don't great, want,
townhouse, row house.
They don't want thousands of fans booing Mitch.
I'm sure they're going to probably have stuff open up for people to come.
Yeah, they will. They will. They said. But from what I understand, it's so much smaller of a facility. They were getting 6,000 to 10,000 almost daily in Bourbonnais. They won't come anywhere near that.
They'll end up taking it back out sooner or later during the next regime.
They still have 3 years.
Really want to, though.
They still have 3 years under contract before they pulled out.
For Bourbonnais?
Yeah.
They could pay that off.
They must have an out, but maybe they can go back.
Wait a minute. I forgot who we were talking to, Ken, And it was like, man, listen, it's going to go to Hallis Hall. And I think that was like 2 years. When was that?
Zach Zaman?
Was it Zach Zaman? He was like, it was somebody saying like, no, they going to be gone. They ain't coming back out here, bro. They, like, all the NFL teams are going out. I mean, they're going back to.
Yeah, it's becoming a trend. Yeah.
I mean, you have and Bears, I think, upgraded their facilities at Hallis Hall.
But like, one thing you have to remember, too, this isn't 30 years ago where guys came in fat.
Right.
So having to take them away from Platteville then to Bourbonnais, where you were trying to get them healthy and right for the season, guys train now. They live that lifestyle. You don't have to sit there and get a guy in shape as much. So there's no reason to have them go out there and live in these dorms and do all this extra
They do
stuff.
A workout.
Yeah, and then on top of that, let's not forget who's now. It could be a coordination of both, or it could be Matt Nagy. Matt Nagy doesn't even use the preseason. So what's the purpose? Right? He doesn't even see the importance outside of just practices. So what's the importance of going out there?
Well, I mean, it was just practice. It was just practice for them anyway. I mean, I would think
it's really purely for the fans, which
it purely is. And they have also, and they have family day,
maybe,
which
also,
is huge for
but
them.
But that's up here though.
I know, that's what I'm saying though.
Yeah. But maybe also this is telling us that the preseason is going to be shrunken down anyway. So they're getting ahead of it. So
I don't think it has anything to do with preseason. I think it's a simple fact that they just don't want to go out there. They probably don't want to pay the money. They don't, as you said before, the guys don't have to like get siphoned away from reality and everyday people. I mean, everyday people, their everyday lifestyles, to get them back in shape. I think it's just a simple fact of like, why are we paying? Why are we having these people go all the way out there? We just upgraded our facilities in Hallis Hall. Bring that up to Hallis Hall.
You could be right. And again, I'm just prognosticating. But the point that I'm trying to make is, if you're only going to have two preseason games, why go all the way to Bourbonnais?
Yeah, I mean, that's true, too.
So, like, if they're going to do away with preseason games, it does not make sense to spend all that time out there.
Real quick.
And probably facility-wise, it's better. I mean, just, yeah. Facility-wise, instead of going down to this small college, you got everything up here anyway.
And
especially they sure they what have. About the, I know the stuff moves, but what about the virtual stuff? All this, what's
the purpose of it?
They got arguably the best facility right now since it was so remodeled so soon ago. Right. So they have a top-notch facility. No one can beat them in facility. All right.
And also, too, do a lot of the guys live out that way? That might be a travel for them.
I mean, that's where they practice.
Sort of like how the Bulls moved at Wilburto Center. They moved it down to the Advocate Center because most of the guys lived in the city. It's like, why are we going through all this? Just move it back down to the west side next to the arena.
All right, I got two more off tops.
On the top.
Jimmy Johnson just made it to the Hall of Fame.
I was kind of shocked by that, too. Bad football fan by me. I thought he was already in.
A partner of mine mentioned that to me today, Courtney. One thing I pointed out. Jimmy Johnson and Bill Cowher are not from the same cloth. Bill Cowher went in also, former Pittsburgh coach.
Yes, he did.
Went to two Super Bowls, lost one, was not the general manager of those Pittsburgh teams. Jimmy Johnson created that. It's a funny thing. We were just talking about a week ago. I said, talking to myself in the head, to Jerry Jones, why couldn't you just let Jimmy rock for 10 years? Because they probably would have won five. And this is in the 90s when
free agency
just broke open. And when free agency broke open, they took a lot of the depth off of those teams, the Cowboys teams. They went into the depth and took those guys. But when you see that they would have probably won four with Barry Switzer winning a year after Jimmy had won. And one of the things Troy Aikman always pointed out, that Barry Switzer wasn't a disciplinarian that Jimmy was. Mm-hmm. And that's how they started to lose their ways. Like, Jimmy Johnson should have been in the Hall of Fame.
And he revolutionized the draft with trades.
Well, they don't do it anymore, though. They used to use his.
But no, they still use it.
I think it's out of date.
They've revolutionized it, but it's still primarily about the same.
So what Ryan is saying, that Jimmy Johnson basically set up draft values for how much picks are and how you go about trading those picks, and you basically use what his evaluation was for that. For
years. I think before he did it, it was like they never traded on draft day. Period.
Yeah.
Too scared of the value that they were giving up.
Clearly, Mike Ditka wasn't using him when he traded a whole draft and a half of Ricky
Williams.
Yeah. Well, he got a good player.
Moment of silence for Ricky Williams.
What's wrong with Ricky?
Thank you very much. He's dead.
When did Ricky Williams die? Are you secure?
Oh, no. I'm not talking about Ricky Williams. I'm talking about what's the other dude from Texas?
Cedric Benson.
I got my Texas running back.
He just said, moment of silence for Ricky when he meant it. It's like, he's dead.
I was like, what? When did Ricky die?
Whoa!
I got my Texas running backs mixed up.
Were you watching Boys in the Hood? Ricky!
Ricky! That was good, Ryan.
Wow. All right.
I got my Texas running backs mixed up.
I got another off top. Former Penn State football player Isaiah Humphreys filed a federal lawsuit Tuesday against the university, coach James Franklin, and former teammate Damon Barber. The suit alleges that Humphreys was subject to hazing brought on by Barber, linebacker Micah Parsons, defensive lineman Uter Gross Matos, and linebacker Jess Lukita. And the coaching staff was aware of the hazing and it did not protect Humphreys. The allegations include instances when this was from ESPN. When the named players collectively orchestrated, directed, and facilitated a campaign to harass, haze, and underclassmen of Penn State football of the Penn State football team, the hazing alleged in the suit includes the participants stating that they intended to make underclassmen their bitches because this is a prison. The participants allege reference former defensive coordinator Jerry Sandusky, who was serving 30 to 60 years term for sexually assaulting children by saying, I'm going to Sandusky you. The action includes wrestling underclassmen to the ground and maintaining restraint, simulating a humping action, wrestling underclassmen to the ground while another participant placed his genitalia on the face of underclassmen, and instances of participants placing their genitalia on the buttocks of alleged victim and stroking their genitalia. What the f***? I don't understand. Listen. We can say this.
That's some hazing right there.
We can say this boys being boys. Dude, I was hazing younger than this, and wasn't nobody pulling out their meat and stroking nobody's face and ass with it.
You got to up the ante.
I mean, I just had a long workout. Let me pull the meat out.
I mean.
Oh, look at these boys.
Yeah, and I mean. We
paddling's been done.
These kids are young, but when I was 18, 19, 20, 21, I wasn't rubbing no dude with my body, period. Now, again, if that's your thing and it's consensual, that's fine. Locker room probably isn't the place for that, even if that's consensual. But this
is... Get ready for the body rub.
This is foolishness, and I'll be honest with you. If Franklin knew about it, brother, I'm sorry. You got to go.
So Penn State fines these people.
My question is, was any drugs involved?
I don't think so.
No?
No, they were coming out for this happened.
That's the only way I do something like this. I gotta be high.
When you get high, you start rubbing dudes with your genitalia.
I gotta be on something.
When you get high, you start rubbing your
genitalia. Not just on the Mother Earth.
D, we need you to send a message to the locker room. Where's the drugs?
This is my whole thing. Uh-huh. I would have to be on something strong to do something like that.
This, I mean, what
it's you, no way in the world they can do that sober.
Not to say you can't come in high, but this is
it's a freak.
This is during practice. This is before, after practice, and during probably weight training.
Sweaty balls.
Yeah, dude.
Just rubbing on somebody's face.
Imagine somebody with like huge meat rubbing themselves on you like that. That's even more disrespectful.
Come here, rookie.
Like that's why you want to do.
Come here, freshie.
To look at your phallus, you bastard. Again, this was disgusting. Penn State deserves anything bad that happens to them. I'm sorry to the Isaiah Humphreys and any other kid that went through this, man. It's foul. These dudes need their asses beat.
Dang, that ain't cool. Right. Can he charge them up? Can I press charges, sexual harassment charges?
It's going to go into hazing, but you're right.
I would think so. That's sexual harassment.
It's something that they always kind of want to stay. They want to kind of stay away from going through the veil of / boys being boys, and that's their team, and they're allowed to certain things to do. That's why I feel like it's just going to go under hazing.
Listen, if that was my son, I'm like, oh no, we pressing charges.
I'm being one of the little bastards with a bat.
Well, I ain't gonna say we want you to go to jail. I'm just saying, they little bastards. These are big college boys.
Yeah, you're young to me, so they little bastards. You putting your genitalia in my son's face.
Who put they balls in my son's face? Who put their sweaty balls in my son's face?
Somebody out there saying it. Who put the genitalia on their son's face, man?
Who was you? You like you got a big package. Who was you?
Massive Mitch.
Pull it down. Let me see. Son, was these balls?
Are these the balls?
Oh, geez. Come here, son. Get close.
I swear for God.
Get closer. Are these the balls, son?
Put your face next to it.
Recreate the seat.
You was already there. Are these the balls? Oh my God. That's pretty nasty.
I mean, especially thinking about massive football meat, somebody rubbing it on my backside.
Man, I remember I had a football guy.
Rub his meat on your backside?
No.
Cam Newton?
He was high.
No. Well,
but if he was, Cam.
They mostly were high. No, I went to the Northern Illinois University. I was cool with the football guys because my boys from high school was on the football scene, so it was kind of cool with everybody. I mean, yeah, we was just cool with everybody. And he came in like, hey, man, let me see if I can fit your jacket. I'm like, dude, I wasn't even 5'7 then. I'm like, I might have been like 5'3, 5'4. I was like, dude, you about 6'4, a good solid 270. You can't fit my jacket. Come on, D, let me try to put on your jacket. I said, no, man, you're going to rip my jacket. My mama got me. I ain't going to rip it, D. Put my jacket on. Thankfully, he did not rip it.
But it never fit the same.
Never fit the same. Football players are a special breed of human beings. They're good guys, but they're just different. They're different. I couldn't see basketball players doing anything like that. They too cool. They too cute. Football players, something different about them. Son, whose balls was this son?
I think we all go through hazing in the locker room.
I hazed.
But there were different, were different lines. I drew a line and I protected kids because it got crazy. My last 2 years where dudes were losing their minds, especially when they became the juniors and seniors and they felt like they had to take this out on the freshmen and sophomores, where I was like, nah, son.
Did anybody defecate in somebody's belongings?
Maybe. It was a lot of getting your ass beat. And, like, I mean, just, like, humiliated. There were times where I've said before where I could have gotten jumped on for taking up for people. I remember when I was a junior. And remember, I was new to the team as a junior. Mm-hmm. And these seniors were about to smash this dog like Benji with a log. That was as wide as my arm, as long as my arm and wider. And I was like, damn. And I wasn't even by them. And I ran over by them. I'm like, oh, man, about to get into it. I was like, don't you do that to that dog. And they was like, they looked at me. It's like, all right. And I was like, thank you. Right? Like, and I mean, it was actually, if I was going to practice that day, if I was leaving practice, I would have taken that dog with me. Somebody had spent some money on that dog. But that just times like that, racist stuff that happened where I intervened and we were outnumbered. If I didn't come from a certain cloth that they viewed, they would have pummeled my ass, basically, probably. That it's risky, right? Like, it's very risky to say. And it's the worst part, too, it's unsupervised. Like, at least there, because usually in college, the strength coordinator is the person that gets to spend the most time with the players because coaches can't spend time with them in the offseason, like the strength coordinators and stuff like that. But it was no strength coordinator. When we were lifting weights, rarely was somebody even in there with us. So it was just us on our own and with kids, young men, testosterone, anything can happen. So, again, I'm sorry for these young men at Penn State. Yeah. Penn State really needs to rectify the situation. They should be on top of this to make sure stuff like this doesn't happen. I'm sure some people say you can't cover all your bases, but when you have the history that Penn State has, you have to go above and beyond to make sure things like this don't take place. And as soon as you hear it, you have to, similar to when we get into the Jeff Luhnow and the AJ Hinch situation, if they weren't involved and it was Alex Cora and Carlos Beltran and others, they had to snipe that out anyway. You got to be like, you know what? That's about enough, guys, because you're not taking me down. One thing we always go to, if morality doesn't do it for you, let selfishness do it for you. If you're not going to correct the issue because it's morally corrupt, correct it because it affects your own future or your paycheck, period.
Preach.
I feel you on that one. All right, that's enough off the top. Come on back. Break down these NFL playoffs next. D and Davis Show.